My name is Ed Bly. I've had the pleasure of meeting some of you, but not all of you. And just to give you guys just a quick introduction, I've been on staff at Mission Church for about 12 years. I came on at the ripe old age of 45, and I was our youth pastor for a couple years. Don't think about that for very long. I've worked with our young adults. I've worked on the administrative side of our church for a number of years, just helping out with the business side of the church. I've overseen our small groups for a season, and we're continuing to just ever so slowly but surely work on the soul care side of our church as well. And so that's what what I'm directly focused on now. And so that's my quick history of Mission Church. So I've been here a little over 20 years, so seeing a lot of good things happen. Seeing been through some difficult seasons as well. And so before that, I worked for the greatest snack food company in the world, Auntie Anne's.
Amen.
And thank you, Brandon. It's awesome. It was a great 15 years. Just learned a lot about life and just got to work with one of the great entrepreneurs of our time, Ann Byler. She just was a thrill to work with over those years. And so that's just a quick snapshot of my I can also call Pastor Jerry Child. I'm going to add that to my resume, man. I don't think I'm going to be doing that because I don't want to wrestle that cat, man. I will be looking at the ceiling twisted up like a pretzel. So anyway, it's great to be with you guys and to be talking about just a subject that's super important and very near and dear to my heart. But I wanted to kind of see from the room who's here. Mission Church guys, raise your hand real quick. Good to see you guys. Good representation there. Pastor Dan from Annapolis. Great. Welcome. And your guys are?
Austin, Jill, and Ted Russell.
Awesome. Welcome, guys. Rochester, are you cats here? Brandon?
Yeah.
Nice. And
Frank,
welcome, guys. Gallipolis. There we are. John and who else is here? Tell me, introduce you guys to me.
Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Brian.
Brian. What's up, Brian?
John.
It takes a while to get it going, right? But we'll get it, man. We'll get it, man. And let's see. Oak Hill.
Yep.
Right? Who we got here, Ben?
And John.
All right. Welcome, guys.
Fairfax.
Who's heading things up here? Max?
Yep.
Matt, Dave, and Ryan. Welcome, guys. Awesome. Great to have you. Did we get everybody?
Maine.
Excuse me?
Yeah,
Nate?
Maine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Bill.
Maine.
I thought you said Nate. It's Bill.
I'm all by myself.
That is okay, man. We're super glad that you're here, man.
He brought the whole state.
He did. But no lobster, man, but no lobster. So I'm going to pray over our time. We're going to have to make up a little bit of time, but I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to get rolling today. So please join me in that. Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for the grace of God. God, we just take a minute to just, again, allow our hearts to soak in that. Father, to think of the words that you wrote, or that Paul wrote in Titus when he talks about the grace of God that has brings salvation. Father, grace brings salvation, Lord. That is what the gospel is rooted in. Father, your unmerited favor towards us, that you would call us out, that you would mark us for your own. Father, that you would redeem us, that you would strengthen us with every spiritual blessing that is in Christ. Father, that you would use every circumstance and every situation in our life to conform us to the image of your will. Father God, we thank you for the work you're doing in our life. We thank you for the work you're doing in each of these churches represented here, Lord. And God, we cry out to you today, Lord, that you would equip us. Father, we cry out to you today, Father, that we would just be better equipped to be servants in your hands, to be sharper instruments, Lord, that would, Father, impact the people that we rub shoulders with daily, that you would help us to cultivate relationships, to cultivate the heartfelt relationships that would, God, just foster maturity in Christ, and God, that would lead to just improving our characters, that would help us to look more like Christ, and that ultimately, Lord, we do this so that we would multiply the leadership that is around us. God, we do this, Father, for the sake of your name and that your church would be built. God, that souls would come to Christ and that souls would be built up and the process would begin again. So God, would you do this? Would you help us to work to that end today as we seek your glory and as we seek to just encourage and edify each other today in this time that we spend together? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, if I am able to do my job today, our goal is that you'll be better equipped to multiply shepherds that effectively lead the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That again, is our goal. I don't know about you, man, but the word multiply sometimes freaks me out. I don't know. When you think about multiply and leaders, like some of us, when we sit in our minds, we're thinking, I'm just trying to survive right now. I'm just trying to survive. I'm just trying to make it to tomorrow, right? I'm just trying to maybe get to the next week. Sometimes we're thinking like, okay, I'm just trying to maybe add some leaders, right? I would like to add another elder. I would like to see one or two more elders. But the title today is like multiply, which kind of like blows the lid off in a way, right? And where maybe we need to change our thinking and how big is our God and what we're asking of God. And so sometimes I think as we start out, we're just kind of think, okay, let me just think, what is my context? Here I am. What is my temperament? Some of us, again, we just are kind of, we're plotters. We're like, what do I got to do next week? What do I got to do next month? But today, and a breakout session, a workshop like this is for us to just kind of slow down and let's say, okay, where am I at right now? And what am I asking of God? And do I need to like expand my thinking? And what tools do I need then to multiply the leadership that is around me? And so, again, that is what our goal is today as we think about multiplying. And so what we want to do today, what we want to seek to accomplish, again, is to look at these five C's that Pastor Nate just did a great job in just laying out for us, to look at these five C's today in light of eldering and eldership, to work with them together. I want to provide with you, for you, like just a brief definition of them in the context of eldership. I want to look at some scriptures that will help support that. Want to just find some practical ways and just lend some things that we're doing here, but also hear from you guys and say, hey, how are you guys developing character? What are your thoughts on conviction? And then at the end, we hope to test drive these and to provide some case studies for you, just to be able to work through them and begin to think through, okay, what was he talking about when he said we recruit down and we evaluate up? What does that mean and what does that look like as we seek to apply these five C's? Okay, and so that's kind of our layout for today for the next 55 minutes. We're going to get this done. It's going to be a great time together. And so as I was starting to prepare for this, I read some things, and I would just commend these to you if you've never read them. This Alexander Strauch, right, Biblical Eldership. This guy has written a book that's about an inch and a half thick. And if you're like me, I like Cliff Note version of things. And this is a much shorter. This is like an eighth of an inch, and I like stuff like that. Right, but I would commend these to you if you're just brushing up on some tools. But as I read this, I was kind of convicted because sometimes as we get started, I was thinking the job of eldering can slip over into kind of a corporate-y kind of a mindset, right? And we show up, we have our meetings, and yeah, you know, we got minutes. And we've got articles of incorporation to abide by, and we got budgets to approve, we got spending to take care of, and you know, in my position, I'm talking to attorneys from time to time. I'm talking to you know other professionals that guide us. We're talking to bankers, and there's other like titles that are given. Like financial officers and administrators and policy makers. And you know what, guys, as elders, we do all that. In a sense, we do all that. But when our thinking becomes very corporately, I think we're not really following, right, the biblical mandates, the biblical guidelines that are laid out for us in Scripture. And when we think about what eldering is really providing what pastoral oversight and leadership to the local church. It's a very sacred office. It's a very sacred office. And so as we just begin to think about eldership today, I don't know, I'm guilty of sometimes slipping over into that corporate kind of a mindset. And like we're here to kind of run a business, but that is not at all what the scriptures talk about. That's not at all what's laid out. We are here to shepherd and care very passionately for people, right? We are here to shepherd and care very passionately for people. We're here to study and share God's word, right? That's an important part of what it is to be an elder, to study and share God's word. Man, another thing of what eldering is, we're here to pray. We're here to pray, and we're here to pray some more about all that is going on in the church. You know, eldership is a call to prayer, right? It's a call to prayer. It's a call to pray for the other elders that are around us. It's a call to pray for our staff. It's a call to pray for all that is happening within our church body. And we're also called to be examples. Man, we're also called to be examples to the rest of the flock. And to line up our lives with God's word so that other people can say, hey, you see that guy over there? Walk like him. Walk like him. That's a huge challenge. And so, again, as we get rolling into these five C's, it's just important to just kind of take that mindset and say, wow, okay, yes, there are some corporate functions that we all have to fulfill as we lead our church. But it's good to take a minute and say, man, this is a very sacred office. We're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. When we spend money, we are stewarding the Lord's finances that people have worked really hard for. And we bring that into our church, and we need to just treat that money as like sacred money. And like, this is a big deal. And not just, well, here's the budget. Let's sign some checks and just keep rolling. And I know we can get like that, but it's important as we just start today, just to have that shift. And just thinking about the Lord's church, and it's sacred, and people matter to God. And so how are we treating people, and are we really treating them with care and really passionately caring for them? And so, again, just kind of a mindset change, just an adjustment. If that fits for you, great. I know as I read some of these things, I was like, wow, I need a little shift there. I need to think about the sacredness of the office of eldering. Okay? So let's dig into our five C's, if you will. And you guys have, Pastor Nate, again, just did a great job in laying these out for us. And we're going to look at these. We're going to look at each of these five C's. You'll find those in your handout. We're going to look at these five C's in light of eldering, okay? In light of the office of eldership. And so let's start off with the first one, which is character, right? Character. And I just laid out a couple of things there, like what is it? What is character? And again, just to give you some perspective on my thoughts on what that was, right? And Pastor Nate mentioned this. This is about our inner being, right? This is about our inner man and what we're doing to continue to develop that. 2 Corinthians 4:16 talks about don't lose heart. Like we're outwardly, we're wasting away, right? Every morning I get up, I feel like I need a can of WD-40 to get moving, right? I'm just like, oh man, we're outwardly, we're wasting away, but inwardly we're what? We're renewed, man. And so inwardly, our hearts are renewed as we spend time in the presence of the Lord, right? And this is what begins to drive our character, that we're inwardly renewed. And I look at Ben Miller and I think of Bruce Helen. A lot of you guys won't know Bruce, some of you do. But that was a man who was what, in his 90s? That was a man who was renewed day by day. His outward frame was wasting away, but this brother was on fire for the Lord and he was well into his 90s. Why? Because he was renewed day by day. And so that's just a sense of like where we're at with that, guys. And then I included Ephesians 3:16, right? This is part of that prayer that Paul is laying out for the church in Ephesus. And he's saying, through the glorious riches that are in Jesus Christ, he's saying, I want your inner what? Your inner man to be strengthened through the Holy Spirit. Right? And so in just looking at those passages, there's one more there in Colossians. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2, where he's then saying, okay, man, how do we keep our character on point? How do we keep our character? What are we doing? What is one more thing we're doing? We're setting our hearts and we're setting our minds, right? We're setting our hearts. We're setting, which is not like a set it and forget it. But setting is like I'm laying my hands to the plow and I got my hands around them and I am not moving. I am not fixed. I am not moving my gaze, right, from my heart and from my head. And I am fixed. I'm committed. And every day I'm waking up, I'm saying, all right, man, this is what I need to be focused on. And this is where I want my heart to be. Because, guys, it is so easy. It is so easy for our heart, right, particularly our heart, right, to begin to head down a trail that is all of a sudden going to a place where it shouldn't, right? And so those are all things about our character, you know, renewing ourselves by the grace of God, being built up in the glorious riches of Christ and setting our minds. That's kind of the foundation for our character. Well, as we look at like some scriptures as far as like where this comes into play, and you guys know these passages well, and we're not here to really establish, right? And we're not really here to define what an elder is, but it's important to look at the qualifications of eldership in this context, right? And just to kind of look at, and you know, the primary ones here, we're looking at like 1 Timothy 3, we're looking at Titus 1, we're looking at 1 Peter 5. Those are where we get lots of our qualifications for eldership. And I just provided them for you there. This is just kind of a resource. We're not going to go through and define each of these particular items, but you see them there. They're above reproach. That's the first one, man. That's the first domino that really drives the rest of these. And you find things like husband of one wife and sober-minded and self-controlled, respectable, not violent, right? Some translations will say not pugnacious. I just always like to say that word, right? Right? We don't have the qualities of pugnacity, right? We're not combative, right? We're not combative. And because combative people lack humility, they bite sheep, and they cause disunity, right? And so again, those are all just part of our character that we're seeking to develop. And you see them there from Titus 1. They're very similar, right? Except you can just imagine this place of Crete was pretty crazy, right? Because Paul then says, man, I'm just looking for people that are not given to debauchery, man. There's one step below that, right? It's almost kind of like this place was crazy. So he provides that list for us there. And then you see like 1 Peter, where it says, don't lord it over those who are entrusted to you. And I think what he's saying there is we need to get respect from people through our character, not from the office, right? Not to lord it over. Hey, this is where we're going. So just follow us. All right. No, we want that done through a relationship. Right. And so those are just some ideas when it comes to lording it over. Right. So the first one is character. Right. What does that look like at mission? You know, as we're recruiting and seeking to bring guys on the eldership process and they've worked their way through, we have an interview process. And I'm sure you guys have something like it. But I brought that along today. Interview process is here. The guys have to fill out a personal evaluation, and there's a lot of doctrinal things in here, but a lot of them you're going to be asked to provide a self-evaluation on a lot of these character qualities that are listed in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. Then your wife gets to fill out one, all right? Like, who's going to know you better than that? If you can fool us in what you write, but then it's got to go through your wife, okay? That's always special. I always fill that out. I'm like, here, honey. Oh, boy. I wonder how this one's going to come out. Right? Then coworker. Then there's one for your coworker. Why? Because, you know, your conduct to those who are outsiders is something that we're looking for in eldership. And so we have one here for a coworker. And then there's also one for a neighbor. Right? A neighbor. I remember doing this just a couple months ago when I was renewing my process, and this guy had a British accent, and we talked all the time as we were walking dogs, and I asked him to fill this out, and I didn't know what he was going to say, because we've had some talks about the Lord, and he knows I'm a pastor, and I've told him about all this, and And he has a British accent, and he brings the form back up to my door. He knocks on my door. He says, hey, could we sit down and talk about this for a little bit? I have some phrases on here I haven't heard of. What is this one woman man you speak of? Right? I'm like, okay, well, all right, let's have a talk, man. So there it was. It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. But anyway, there's an interview process that really has purpose to it, that is saying, okay, give me some self-evaluation. Let's look at what your wife thinks of you and look at what outsiders think of you. So we treat those, that's a very important process for us. And I want to also talk about when it comes to character, when it comes to what else are some things that we do. Before each elder meeting, we have a meal time, right? And we eat dinner together, and we're split up into our peer groups. And while we don't specifically like list these four questions out every time, we might have some other themes as we go spend that time together. I've provided those questions for you, and they're on there. And they're like, how is your relationship with the Lord? Right? How is your relationship with your wife and children? How is your heart towards ministry and the church? And fourthly, has your heart remained pure? Right? Are you taking second and third glances where you shouldn't? Are you peeking at pornography? Are there things in your heart that are beginning to cause you to drift down a road that you shouldn't? Right? And guys, as much as I love to joke around, I just joke around all day with you. But this is like a couple minutes where we just need to be like serious, like a heart attack on this subject. You know, if you know our church history, we've paid a price in this area. And these questions and this time that we spend together are extremely important. And I would just really encourage you, if at your church there's not a way to like really be checking up on each other on a regular basis, to somehow incorporate that into your life as elders. And I just want to stop for a minute. It'd be just a good time to just say, hey, is there some things that you guys do in your churches to both recruit for character, but is there some things that you guys are doing to just stay on track when it comes to your character? So just give you a minute to think about that, and we'll just love to hear from you. It's okay. I'm okay with silence.
We're reading through the book Plurality Principle with Dave Harvey.
Okay.
We just had a conversation last week about cultivating a culture of care.
Right? Mm. Wow.
And so we just went around our table as elders. And
okay.
Talk about, hey, this is where I just didn't feel cared for. This is where I didn't feel cared for.
Okay.
And came out of it with, you know, some of these questions. Say, hey, we'll talk about these at an elder meeting once a month, but then let's commit to having a long form conversation outside of that. So,
wow.
A lunch or a breakfast or dinner or something like that, to be able to ask these heart penetrating questions we really need to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Be able to keep up with each other. So,
that's great.
So
yeah.
We haven't done it yet, but
okay.
It's the first conversation.
That's really good, man. Really good. I commend you guys for that. That's so good. That's so good. Again, man, we can kind of think corporate-y and just kind of get on to the business of the day or the evening, right? But man, so many qualifications of an elder revolve around character, and so if we don't invest some time in that, I think we're missing the mark. And so, anybody else? Thanks, Brandon. Anybody?
A book called Gospel of Eldership, and Alden's leading us through that.
Okay.
It has a lot of heart-penetrating questions that allow really good open dialogue between us elders.
Yeah.
And so each chapter is like a knife twisting you a little bit.
Ouch.
And, it's good. It's really healthy. It's been really healthy for us as a team to talk at that level.
Yeah.
So Gospel Eldership by Bob Thune is one that we recommend.
Gotcha. That's really good. It's really good. Yeah, so good. Thank you, Ben. So... yeah. Again, if there's not something in your ongoing schedule, if you will, man, this is so important to incorporate, just holding each other accountable in the area of character. Let's move on. I'm sorry? Yeah, before the meal. Yeah, so we're, again, if I didn't explain that well, we're splitting up. As we meet for elder meeting once a month, we're splitting up and we're going out in groups of like 3 to 4. And just having lunch, or having dinner together, and we'll take what 45 minutes or an hour to do that, and just again eat together, and we'll get talking through these questions, or sometimes who's ever leading a devotion is going to give us maybe a particular theme to think about for that night. But again, we'll do that from like 5:30 to 6:30, and then start our elder meeting at 6:30, and go from there. So it's super important, super important. Conviction, right? We talked about character. Let's move on to conviction. And we have to hustle through these, so I'm gonna pick up the pace a little bit. But what I have there is, first off, man, conviction talks about just displaying a deep affection for Jesus Christ. Just like, where's your heart with the Lord? That's first and foremost. We can't go anywhere without our heart, right? Pastor Jerry talked about that last night. And so we don't go anywhere without that. That's our first conviction, is do we have a heart for the Lord? Do we have a heart for His church? Right? Is the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, important to this individual? And then do they demonstrate a willingness? Right? First Peter talks about a willingness. Like, is this something that's like pouring out of your heart? Are you kind of just here because, I'd like to fill up some time in my week or a month, or I'd like that on my resume that I served on a board at a church? Or is this like something that's just pouring out of my heart? I read this when it comes to like looking at some of our scriptures there, 1 Timothy 3, 1 Peter 5, you can see those there. He who desires the office of elder desires a noble task. That desire is an inward longing. That desire, it really means an inward longing. I also read this, those who eagerly pursue ministry and service do so because they have a deep commitment and longing to do God's will for their life. And so as we sit and as we're recruiting, we're thinking about elders, are you perceiving, are you getting from the person that this is like a deep longing in their heart? Or is this kind of something that, hey, I would just like to do that and I'll come along for the ride, right? And so again, there's a certain willingness that I believe is really needed. And then I think secondly, and Pastor Nate talked about this morning, but, you know, there's also alignment in ministry, right? There are lots of good ways to fulfill the Great Commission. There's lots of good ways to fulfill the Great Commission. And if we were to sit and talk to each of your churches, we'd probably have, you know, seven or as many churches are in here. There's probably 7 or 8 different ways that you guys are doing that, right? But at the core of that is a fundamental belief that the church is plan A, right? And again, you guys will wrap around that and fulfill that in different ways and in different ministries, given on your context, given your culture, given where you're at in your church, maybe even given your own bents, right, as men of God. And so, but when we're, again, I think when we're recruiting and looking for people, we gotta know, like, is the church at the heart of their conviction? Because if that's not, we're going to get down the road and that's going to cause some division. And so, again, conviction is not just, it starts with just a deep hunger, a deep affection, a deep passion for Jesus Christ. But it also comes with, okay, here are some ways that we do ministry, okay? We really want your input and design, but there is kind of a way that we're heading. And we got to make sure that you're close to that. And so conviction, alignment in ministry. And I just wrote down Ephesians 4, 2 through 6, right? We all have different opinions, but at the heart of that, are we able to be completely humble and gentle? Are we able to be patient? Are we able to bear with one another in love, to make every effort to keep unity, right? I just love Paul. When Paul starts writing, you could just hear him coming. He like wants to jump out of the page sometimes, doesn't he? He gets charged for run-on sentences, but it's really enthusiasm, right? He doesn't stop. He's like one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father, right? He's like, the guy can't stop. But what is he talking about? He's talking about unity here, right? And so we just got to keep that in mind. There's, again, ministry philosophy is important in coming to conviction. And just to share those with you real quick, like, what does that look like at mission, right? We have six pursuits. I know you guys have those, right? Again, you guys know these: prayer, fervent prayer, biblical preaching, passionate worship, discipleship, courageous evangelism, strategic church planting, and networking. And these are all outlined in our booklet here. Consider mission, which you guys will be free to take a look at if that can be of any help to you. There's also four commitments. This is a class that we teach as well. Four commitments that we're looking for people to make. Comes to the commitment to building his church, a commitment to maturity, a commitment to ministry, and a commitment to multiplication. And so, again, those are all just tools. Those are all just beliefs that as people are coming through the church, we're beginning to just teach these things and teach these areas of ministry that we feel are just super important. I also wrote down small groups and missions, right? Because small groups are super important, and those are items that get on the calendar before anything else. Right. And so before we put men's events, women's events, before we put all the other events of the church, we get small groups in there and then we build around that. And the other area where conviction, I think, is super important is where when it comes to missions. Right. And what is going to be priority there. Right. Because that missions then comes down to how we allocate money. And that's always a touchy subject. Right. How we spend our dollars. And so these are just, again, some things to consider when it comes to conviction and just some things that we've put into place to try to help guide us. And so any thoughts on that when it comes to conviction, as you guys are thinking about that, as you guys would be recruiting and looking to add elders, to multiply your team, any thoughts on convictions, any ways that you guys are thinking through this? Okay.
So to do more strategic conversations.
Right, right.
Opportunity to talk through that.
Okay.
The whole plurality of elders.
Yeah.
Understanding that our personalities are different. God gave us different abilities.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
The leader among equals being to my left.
Yeah.
In that the ideas for conviction should not always be only his role. And that we as elders have the responsibility to bring those convictions to the table, to the
mm.
and whatnot too. I mean, I don't envy the position that he may always pressure to come to the table with the ideas.
Right.
We're the ones with the gun shooting things, right?
Gotcha.
That doesn't seem equal or what would be intended by God from a plurality standpoint. So
absolutely.
To take seriously our roles as elders to help bring ideas that we can be convicted about to agree on and discuss them. I mean,
yeah.
I despise yes people that just sit there on their heads. I mean, let's talk about this. Be serious about it. It's like, we're asking for your conviction on this, so you better be talking about it. Just don't sit there and shake your head.
That's really good. So conviction, really in terms of plurality, really in terms of sharing ideas. Do you hold this or don't you?
Right.
Right? In the mindset of plurality. That's so good. That's so good. Thank you. Anybody else? Conviction. Anybody? Let's move on to competency. Let's move on to that one, man. So we've got chemistry, we've got conviction, we now got competency. And let's talk through that for a couple minutes. There's like three, I think there's like three main competencies in eldering, man. One is shepherding, right? One is shepherding, man. This is caring for and protecting people. Man, you guys know this well, but it deserves just a minute here. And then what is the second one? Teaching, right? We talked about that. Teaching, man, feeding, instructing, even refuting, right? Being able to listen to someone, discern what they're saying, and say, man, that's not truth. We need to talk about that, right? So teaching. And then finally, as a leader, there's a couple things there which we need to look at. Making organizational decisions, making decisions about finance, and making decisions about, hey, now it's time to appoint other leaders. And so you as an elder then are then part of appointing other elders and having wisdom and discernment in that. And then as we look at what the scriptures say about that from 1 Timothy 3, again, what are some of these competencies? One of these is being hospitable. That is a competency in and of itself. Just to be hospitable, able to teach, able to manage their family well. That is certainly a competency and not a recent convert. Titus 1, put what remained in order, right? Having the ability to be able to say, okay, man, we need to organize something. All of us have different skills. All of us have different abilities, right? But one of the guys that is so good at this is Ed Rose. This guy is like an organizational guru. This guy just really helps us, right, as an elder board to think through, like, how is this going to affect the overall organization, and how can we move this through effectively? And don't forget this. Right, this guy is just a thorough thinker. He's an engineer. Right? We don't laugh at engineers. We love engineers, man. Because there's a lot of you in the room, so we get beat up. The one right behind him, right? But man, he's just so good at helping us think organizationally and like, man, how do we put this system in place so that we can keep doing this and keep doing it effectively? And so that's just a really important skill. Man, 1 Peter 5, be shepherds of God's flock, watching over them. Another competency, praying for the sick, right? James 5, and just having a ministry when people are sick, when they're hurting, when they're sick, even spiritually, when they're even not doing well in that capacity, and just being able to come around people and have that interpersonal skill to be able to lay hands on them and to be able to pray passionately for them and to be able to care for them. And I wrote some things down from Acts 20, man. Acts 20 just says, be alert, right? In all times, be alert, man. In our culture today, we've got to be alert, right? To the changes that are happening around us. We got to work hard and be generous. Those are all competencies. Those are all competencies. Well, what does this look like at Mission? What are some things that we are really seeking to put in place? Again, this is a work in process for us as competencies. We've just begun to think about this in a fresh way. And so I'm not sitting here saying, wow, these are all things that we've just had in place for a long time. But we're kind of taking a fresh look at our competencies and how would we formalize those a little bit more. Just some things that we wrote down. What does it mean not to be a new convert? Well, that's what is spelled out in Scripture. But like, what does that actually mean? What is that in a practical way? What does that mean? We wrote down, we have a believer for at least 5 years and a member of our church for 3 years, right? So they need to be around us. They need to know our culture. And we've attended, and so some other competencies are they've attended. I talked a little bit about consider mission and commit to mission, that they've been through our entry-level type classes. We've used over the years a BUILD series, which stands for the Biblical Institute of Leadership Development. And there's a number of studies that we've used over the years. Books 1 through 4, this is Becoming a Disciple. There's five lessons in here. And so there's a book, there's a series 1, has 4 books in it. And so to be an elder, you've had to go through each of those 4 books and have been a part of that. BUILD also has kind of the next level of classes, which I brought one of the books here, but there is a series of studies. We call them the Core 4, which talks about the book of Acts, which really gets into the centrality of the church, the Pauline epistles, which talks about strengthening the church. There's leaders in the early church, which gets into leadership structure, and then there's also sound doctrine, which is how do we perpetuate doctrine to the next generation. And so the elder process, the elders is really a learner. And we've got to continue to learn. And while and BUILD provides the context for a really good biblical theology, over the years we've also said, okay, how do we also build in some systematics? How do we build in some systematics? And so we started a class with that. While it's super important to have a good biblical theology, people ask questions about systematics, right? People ask questions about systematics. And so we found it important that we've got to beef up in that arena. And so Pastor Brett and another elder who had just served up until last year, he's taking a sabbatical year. These two guys are teaching a class on systematics. And so, again, just important to have a well-rounded learning of the scriptures. We have down here completed some soul care basics. And so there's just, as a lot of you probably know, there's just a lot of things that Garrett Higbee has put out over the years with respect to root to fruit, with respect to SOS scores. But just also having the interpersonal ability to be able to sit down with an individual and gather their life story, understand what's happening in their heart, and just being able to diagnose and look at some situations when people are struggling, and being able to just sit down and have those interpersonal skills. There's lots of other things we could talk about with respect to soul care when it comes to training. But suffice to say that there needs to be some ability to be able to sit down with people and help them to work through what they're struggling with. A couple of the things that we looked at for competencies are just, have they proven themselves in ministry through either being a small group leader or maybe a coach in our small group structure? And have they served as an elder intern? An elder intern would be just a position that we've kind of created. It's kind of an on-ramp to eldership, which we have found just to be super helpful. It's kind of like dating a little bit. We're trying to see and get to know, is there a fit here or not, right? And they have the opportunity to kind of sit through meetings. They can participate. Their voice is not binding, but they have the opportunity to kind of sit through this. And what is it like to go through an agenda? What is it like to make decisions on finances before they come on and are officially part of our team? And so that's just been a really helpful way to get people introduced to the office of eldering. And then you guys can see there's just a list of things there that we've kind of added to or that we've included. Is just, hey, what does it mean to be an example to the flock? What does it mean to be an example? And so those are just some participatory things that we've included, that, hey, it's important that you're there at these functions. It's important that you're there to support that because that just involves just being an example. So I'll pause there for a minute. When it comes to competency, it'd be just great to hear. Have you guys developed things within your church body to say, okay, man, there's some steps we got to go through, some steps we need to take to be able to say, okay, here are some competencies that we would like elders to be able to have. Be really good just to hear what you guys were working on. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure what the answer is, but when you talk about serving as an elder intern, they're not going through your interview process that you mentioned in the first section. Is that a true statement?
That is true. It's an abbreviated. It's not as in-depth. I think we asked them, you guys can help me out. I think we asked them to fill out a personal and a spousal, but not the rest of that. So it is not quite as in-depth as the full
And yeah. Also, like to say that just because someone goes through the elder internship is not a shoo-in to come onto the board.
So that's a follow-up question I had, is you've been here a lot longer than we have, and we've gone through the process that you guys have provided us. Mm-hmm. Have you actually ever, I don't know what the right term is, but denied someone?
Absolutely.
Because if you get to the point of doing the paperwork,
yeah,
you're pretty confident of that person, don't you?
Yeah, you want to have a yeah, right. That's true, right? Yeah, John, you can take a minute and speak to that.
I mean, we have had people who have filled out the evaluations and come on the board as interns, and over the course of that year, their competency and character and some other things may have revealed themselves in the board meetings or outside of the board meetings, and so, you know, it's not a guarantee. And we are very upfront with that. When we bring people onto the board, you know, as an elder intern, it's like, this is not a guarantee that you're going to come onto the board.
And I would hedge a bet that a lot of probably what you're about to talk about next is evaluating that next year, which is chemistry. Because you could have character, you could have competency, but you know, it might not be a great fit for the team right then. That's an evaluation period to see if it's a good fit for that
time. Absolutely.
Sometimes you have guys that will come on as an intern, and we encourage them to participate, but not, and you'll get some guys going that will over participate and like interject all the time, and then you get other guys that will sit completely back and won't embrace. And so it's really incumbent upon us as an elder board to evaluate those things, Dan, and like you said, all of them as we go through.
We've also sprinkled in interns that we knew wouldn't be elders.
Wait, say that again.
We sprinkled in people who we knew wouldn't be elders because we look at it and say, man, your character, you're growing, you're younger, and you're just not in a position capacity-wise where you probably want to take on this role. We use it as a development function, realizing the gap is there. You can think of some names and some guys we've done that with. And so what that does is it sets a precedent across the board by actually inviting a few people who aren't ready to be elders. You can't trust them with people. They can be trusted with the information in the room, and they're developing very, very well, but they're not yet at the stage of life where they want to be an elder. It's actually very healthy. Like your small group coaches and people and places like that, it's a nice step of development for them. And then they just cycle off the internship, and then it becomes a very natural, respectable process to come on, experience it for a year, and cycle off, and that's now the pattern. And there's not an attachment to after this year
to
be an elder. That's not really helpful.
Yeah. I would just add to that, if that's okay. I think it's really important for all of us, and I think that it's being assumed, is context, right? You know, in terms of, you know, bigger church, smaller churches, highly transitory churches, or KO. And so the breadth of the options, I'm not saying the bar is lower.
Right.
The runway may or may not be shorter in different places than it is in others. So I think it's really important to evaluate, especially as we look to multiply together in different contexts, to evaluate context as applying and almost like a 6C in a lot of ways to apply these 5Cs to context.
Absolutely. That's a really good point.
The size of the board will also dictate how many interns you want, right?
Right.
You don't want the interns outnumbered.
Yeah.
A word of warning on what Jerry was talking about.
Yeah.
Just because we did it wrong.
Put your guardrails on it.
Yeah, right. Go ahead.
Has already come loaded with humility.
Because
they have to be willing to say at the end of it, okay, I'm off the internship and I'm not becoming an elder. And then the context of love, we didn't keep up with our evaluation process throughout that year well enough.
Yeah.
When it came time to say, it's time to continue your internship or be done with your internship, they got hurt.
So right.
Humility and love were essential to if you're going to do it.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Ben. Yeah, that's really good, man. Those qualities are so important, right? If those are in place, they cover a multitude of sins, right? If those aren't in place, it's going to be it's a bad day. It's a bad day, and it gets hard. Yeah, Andy.
I just wanted to say that to Dan's point, I'd say in the smaller churches, like you guys could do this better than us in a lot of ways. We have to have these things in place because we maybe don't have the same level of intimacy and relationship that you do. But like if you are like with these individuals on a closer level where you can invest in them more heavily and you can evaluate them more closely, you can look at this and you can say, okay, these are some of the things I want to be thinking about. Okay, are they proven in ministry? Do they have these levels of competency? What are the skills that they need to have, and then figure out, well, how do I apply these in my context now, knowing that, hey, I don't have the capacity to teach, you know, 3 build courses.
Right. You don't.
I'm waiting 5 years to have my first elder.
Right. Yeah.
You could hold it and do that.
No, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so you make such really good points, Dan, to bring up that context is super important.
And this
is
just say that.
Yeah.
Younger than all the other churches in the room, I typically like to take a guy out to eat or, you know, around the project and ask him questions that are complex, meaning situational, stuff that we deal with. And just see how they handle it.
That's good.
And see how, you know, they react emotionally. I like to see how they process. When we were in our core team, I was asking questions to guys that could potentially be, which I was a year and a half away from even, you know, installing them in the process. So I think it's like, for me, it's very, where we are a smaller church. I mean, I agree with on-ramps are different and everything, but all the principles are the same.
Yeah.
So I need to know how they process the information because the outcome can be delivered, you know, in different ways. But if the process isn't right, it doesn't matter if the outcome's right. You know, or if our heart's not in the right place, then, you know, it's going to catch up with us. So that's how I do it.
That's good. That's really good. Tomorrow's story is, beware if John asks you out to a meal. He's going to ask you hard questions.
Not necessarily hard, but I do.
No, I'm just kidding.
I remember we were in the core team painting doors and stuff.
Yeah.
And, a guy that's an elder now, I was just asking him questions. Mm. Hey, what do you think? I'm already seeing some marital issues here with a guy in our church. Like, how do you think I should counsel him?
Wow.
And, okay. Know, I trust him. And so I was asking questions of, because what that does then is like, how is he theologically? How is he processing it philosophically?
Yeah.
Right? And now, how is this care for that person?
Wow.
And all that comes into some of these fundamental questions. I don't have the on-ramp. I mean, we've only been alive for 3 years now.
Absolutely.
So obviously,
yeah. You don't have that luxury, right?
Right.
But the thing is, man, you're always interviewing.
Right.
That's smart. Yeah, it's really good. That's really good. It's really good. All right, I'm gonna run through chemistry and I'm gonna run through capacity. You guys can look at that. We got about 10 to 12 minutes left, and so chemistry, real quick, man. Again, this is personality. This is relational capability, cultural fit. I listed some verses there for you. Again, not quarrelsome, not arrogant or quick tempered. When I think of chemistry, I just couldn't help but to look at that verse and think of chemistry when it was like Paul knelt down, prayed, and there was much weeping. Man, I could just see chemistry right there, right? There was just chemistry right there. There was just guys that just loved each other and were able to do ministry together and serve together and cry together and laugh together. And so important, man. And there's Ephesians 4, living a life worthy, right? Philippians 2. I read just some things on this. Submit out of love, not out of fear. Right? Submit out of love, not out of fear. Philippians 2. Man, Ephesians 4, while it talks about speaking the truth in love. Right? That's an important part of chemistry, is speaking the truth in love. Jesus was bold, but he also spoke with grace and truth. And that's a tension. That's a tension we all have to wrestle with. Proverbs 17:17, man, a friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity, right? So there's love, fidelity, faithfulness through adversity, man. That's all part of chemistry. I wrote down some things. What does it look like at mission? In our elder handbook, which needs to be updated, man, there's ground rules in there. There's like a bunch of ground rules that are like, man, we're not going to speak over each other. We're going to give deference to each other in meetings and things like that. We recognize each other's differences. Right? It's really good to know each other's spiritual gifts and their temperaments. So we're like, yeah, that's so-and-so. He's going to say that. You know, I kind of saw that coming. Right? But it's important to know that, right? It's just like, yeah, that's them, man. You know, because if not, you're like, man, why are you saying that? You know? And so it's just important to know each other well. That's going to build chemistry. When you've done like some spiritual gift assessments and some other temperament assessments, it's just so helpful to be able to know those things, to be able to work together. Because if you don't, man, you're like, man, why is that guy like that? Well, that's just, man, that's the Lord. That's him coming out. It's not a character flaw. That's just the way God made him, and he's going to have that bent. He's going to have that viewpoint. We know how that person grew up. He's like that, and man, there it is. I know him, and it's good. So chemistry, man, we're all God's ever-loving children, right? Consensus is important, right? Consensus, right? That's so important, man. Man, our team wrestled through an issue the other night about allocation of space. And it was just getting clear that there was not consensus. And Pastor Jerry just did a really masterful job of just guiding that conversation and realizing, you know what, there is not consensus here, so we're not moving ahead. So what we can't do together, we won't do. It gets tabled, it's done. Right? And that's consensus. Okay, we could spend a lot of time talking about that. And then finally, chemistry, talking about a united front. right? A united front, even in disagreement. You might have a, like, man, I'm not really fully on board with that, but the team is, and I'm going to walk, we're going to walk out of this, we're going to walk out of the room united, right? United, strong, arm in arm. Okay, so that's chemistry. Let's just cover capacity real quick.
Real quick on the consensus one.
Yeah.
I think there's a difference between agreement and I can affirm this as like I'm full blown agree behind it. Like there's our team where we've come to consensus by saying I can affirm this. I'm not jumping up and down about it, but I can't stand in the way of it. I'm gonna affirm it.
Right.
What happened the other night was it was beyond affirmation. You know what I mean? Mm. I think that's really important that you don't have to be like doing cartwheels out of the room.
Right.
God, there's something here. We can affirm, we can move.
As opposed
to an issue that's, you know.
That's really got a check him. I am really like lock against that. Yeah, it's a good, really good point. So, and low in those levels of how far am I against something? You know what? I can get along with that. It's not my top priority, but I can support it. Right? So that's a good distinction. It's really good. So lastly is capacity. Man, combination of desiring the work and being able to effectively manage the other areas of our life. And I just wrote just a tension of verses, right, to kind of come from different angles on this, that the work is desirous, yet we've got to think through, right? You know, do I have time for this, right? Who builds a tower yet doesn't sit down and estimate the cost, right? Is this person seeking first the kingdom of God, right? Ecclesiastes says, you know what? There's a time for everything. He's made everything beautiful in its time, right? Which is just to say, you know what? The time might just not be right now. And that's okay. We just got to be at peace with that, right? Be careful how you live, not as wise, but as unwise, making the most of every opportunity, right? Our time on this earth is short, right? We want to invest in eternal things and we love the Lord and the church is his bride. And so making an investment in the church is a beautiful thing. And our days are short on this earth. So, man, let's make them count, right? And so there's just that tension back and forth when we're thinking about capacity, right? I just wrote some other examples down there. And what's that look like at mission? Man, sense and spirit of priority for family. What does it look like for you individually to be on mission? Right? That's going to be different for me. It's going to be different for you. But we all got to wrestle that out. What does capacity look like? And that context is just different for everybody. We're all at different stages of life. We all got different things that we're managing in life. And it's really wrong to make a capacity judgment on somebody else. You got to be very careful when we do that. Well, you got time to do that. Why don't you do it? I don't know, man. I don't know what's in your life. And to make a capacity judgment. And so therefore, we got to use the other principles like, is God's kingdom being sought first? Are we living wisely? Is the good crowding out the best? And so all those things, I think, weigh into capacity. All right? So those are our five areas. We got about 7 minutes left. I was going to break us up into groups and work on these case studies, but we're going to cut right to like number five. And let's just read this together. We're going to go right to the end, right? And if you got your card here, okay? Let me just read this for you real quick and see if we could like come up with a couple thoughts on this, man. Elder Chris has just disclosed that he has had an emotional affair with a coworker. After spending time with him, you learn that he has been working 70 plus hours a week. One of his kids has required extra medical attention due to an unusual affection, and his wife has been very depressed. Using the five C's, what are some possible ways of dealing with this situation? So first thing in utilizing our tool is we got to figure out which way are we going. So if you're looking at this, like are we heading down or are we going up? Going up, obviously. We have an evaluation here, right? Right, we're evaluating the situation. So if you were sitting down with this guy, like, what are some questions you begin to ask? Because like, there's a character issue here, right? And I think what Pastor Nate was getting at is when we start with character in a situation like this, we can end up bruising this guy even further than he might already really feel bad about what he's done. And when we start with character, we go, ouch, you went right after the jugular right away. And we might ultimately need to get there, right? But Ed, you're
just to the context of it being that he just disclosed is an encouragement.
Because yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was caught in an yeah. affair, and so at least from a character standpoint, it's beginning in a disclosure as opposed to a more negative context than that. But
yeah, that meaning he got caught, right?
Well, right.
Yeah, that's good.
And Scripture tells us to restore gently. So coming from the bottom up, looking at the capacity and the circumstances.
Yeah, that's good. Good. Anything else you're seeing from here in just trying to make application and just trying to learn this tool, right? Learn this tool of these five C's and which way are we heading here and what's your approach? Because there's an, yeah, so I'll shut up.
I'd probably start with how's your walk and then yeah. see how much time you get with your wife. Are you loving her? Are you shepherding her? And then kids as well. I would start right there because if he's saying no to that, by the time you get, like if you have to get to the character issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's already seeing that he's not, you know, baseline, whatever
yeah, yeah.
as a Christian is responsible for. So I'm not building a case, but if you have to build a case, you have it by the time you get to the top.
Up to the top, right? Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's good. I've actually had to do this.
Okay.
With not an elder,
but right.
with volunteer staff, and I've built it from the... when's the last time you grabbed your wife's hand and prayed with her?
Mm-hmm.
You know, honestly, even this coming... before I came here, I had a very thorough conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think of the right word.
Right, in confronting that, yeah.
Just say, like, listen, man, how have you been leading yeah. your life? And, or really have it. So you want to be a leader, and you're not grabbing your hands and loving your wife. That's terrible.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
This is screaming chemistry.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
The capacity is obvious, but you're like,
right.
it took a conversation for me to learn that mm. your mm. wife's been depressed. And
yeah. Mm.
That you weren't comfortable talking about those things before you had to reveal this thing. Right. So you
right.
Like, and that ownership right there of the team completely diffuses and leaves emotional margin for him to see, even as we would counsel this couple.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
first are going to own something.
Yeah, it's so good, right?
Even as you disclose your this owning of your sin, let us own the fact that we should have known this other stuff.
Yeah.
Well, the elders have to know each other to function well, and if trust isn't present, it isn't going to work. So yeah, exactly what you're saying, Pastor Jerry. We have to make the time relationally.
Which yeah.
to be a team for the multiplied conference.
It is, man.
But we have to have trust in order to do the Lord's work.
Yeah, it's an interesting statement in the second line. It says, you learn that he has been working 7+ hours.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
so.
if the board is functioning the way that we anticipate it should, I should know that Ed Rose has a demand on his schedule coming up with a special project. I should know mm-hmm. those things. As
right,
out.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it shouldn't come out in like, well, oh, hey, Al, you're working 75 hours a week. Really? That's...
That's why those peer times are so important.
Yeah, they
somebody,
really...
We may all, like, you know, our other team's gotten larger, but mm-hmm. somebody on the team needs
right.
to,
that's right. to be raising the flag.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, again, that time is just so important. That time is just so important, that character time, just to be able to sit down, look at guys eye to eye, to be able to say, here's what's happening in life. I might be doing okay on the outside, but I am crumbling on the inside right now. I can put on a good front, but man... I'm hurting, and that is just so important to be able to say those things.
Well,
yeah.
To be able to pray for each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They do.
Yeah, they do, man. They're going to be there. You're under attack, man. You're leading the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes.
I was going to say what does it look like at mission on your first page? Is something I scribbled down and said we need to do this as the four questions. We haven't. I don't think we've done that in a while.
Hmm.
And we ran through something similar to this. I don't know that you can know everyone else's business. The 70-hour thing is really easy to be hit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
It is.
And so having these, like, checkpoints, I Hopefully, you know, as your heart being here, maybe that's where this moment comes out, right? You know, for Chris on this.
Absolutely.
But structure, right? Structured accountability, I think, is a good thing.
Yeah, structured accountability, but the relationships behind it,
yep.
Right? To be able to foster a good conversation is important too, right? So that's so good, because I can fake it with the best of them, man. Right? If I don't trust you with my business, then I'm not going to tell you. And so that's important too, right? Structures are good, but the relationships are going to keep those. They're going to keep those things going on, and they're going to make them better than just, well, we had our peer time together, and it was, yeah, we had lunch there, we had dinner together, but man, just that I would sit across, and I trust Nate to tell him my business, and I've heard his business, and we're better for it, right? And he doesn't go blabbing it around, and he prays for me, and man, so critical, so crucial. It's 12 o'clock. I'm told we were to have a hard stop, right? Is that right, Pastor Nate? A hard stop means a hard stop, doesn't it? It's lunchtime. Let me break out recording. No. Instructions for you guys. Instructions. From here, you're grabbing lunch. If you are from Mission Church, head up to the worship center, and your lunch will be up there. If you are not Mission Church, you head to the gym, which is that way, and then you're going to have teen times right now, and you'll find signs that are going to be up this hall, which is going to be where most of your churches, most of your groups are meeting. Okay, any questions on lunch and your teen time together? Okay, you go with that. Conclude your lunch and teen time at 12:50 and return to the worship center. All right? Can I pray for us before we leave? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each person here. I want to thank you for the senior pastors that are here. I just want to really pray for them today. I just want to lift them up to you, each one of them that are here, each one of them that are preparing God's word on a weekly basis and serving that to their flocks and feeding them. God, we pray for them. We pray for their ministry of the word. God, we pray for the time that they spend with you. Father, we pray over their families that you would protect them, that love them, that you would help them in their relationship with their spouse and with their kids. God, we pray for the weight that they carry of being first among equals. God, we pray for them, Lord, today. Our hearts go out and we thank you for them. We love them and we just want to support them in this moment of prayer, Lord, that you would just flood them with your grace, that you would supply what is lacking. God, that you would help us as men who are serving alongside them to support them, to encourage them, to strengthen them. God, to be able to just be their number one fan, to be the person that is in their corner, to be their cut man, to be their person that is there to support them and love on them and encourage them, God. So would you help us to do that as elders, God, to just really have a heart for our senior pastor in just a fresh way today? God, would you help us in that endeavor? Would you help us, please? God, we pray that your church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, would be multiplied. Father, I just pray that we could all take just one little nugget out of this time together, just one little thing, one little adjustment. It's all we can ever expect, and just one little change, one little something, Lord, that would just help us to more effectively serve you. God, would you line up our hearts with who you are? Pray over our lunchtime. Pray over the team time that's about to happen. Would you, God, just bring hearts together? Would you just do a tremendous work in each of the churches here that are represented? Would you use the time that remains that we are together today? Would you just use it for your honor and glory? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.